Support for the Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Anti-Semitic attacks, white supremacist incidents, harassment of LGBTQ plus individuals, and anti-immigration activities, all of this and more is on the rise in Texas. That's according to a new report from the Anti-Defamation League. The report, Hate in the Lone Star State, looked at incidents from the last 2.5 years, and they are charting a dramatic rise in the numbers. There was a hostage situation at a synagogue in North Texas, anti-LGBTQ protest at a drag bingo event in Katy, the gathering of Proud Boys during the NRA National Convention in Houston just days after the school shooting in Uvalde, and there's an increase in propaganda drops across the state, especially around college campuses. These incidents are clearly communicating what their intention is. Beyond hate, they are threatening violence, and they are acting on it. The elected leaders of Texas are not forcefully speaking out against this action. What do you think needs to be done before it's too late? We're joined by Jake Kurtz. He's a spokesperson for the Anti-Defamation League. And Jake, welcome to The Source.
Thanks so much for having me.
Our phone number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can text us at that call-in number, 833-877-8255. So Jake, what are the numbers? What are you seeing?
Well, unfortunately, Texas is number one in the number of white supremacist propaganda distributions in the United States. We've seen an increase in anti-Semitic and sort of extremist behavior around anti-Semitism, making us the fifth highest state for anti-Semitic incidents in the country. Number two in the number of individuals from Texas who attempted to take part in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. And many more. We're the home of a major white supremacist organization. And we have a number of other issues related to, as you mentioned in the open, LGBTQ plus incidents, incidents at the border with folks trying to immigrate. It runs the gamut. So our issues here aren't just one or two, it's sort of widespread.
Is this normal? Should we just, expect that this is the kind of stuff that happens? You're always going to have a group of people who are going to, march and say awful things?
Well, hate has always been a part of the sort of the human condition, but we don't want to allow it to become normalized. We feel like this is abnormal in that it's continued to grow, and it's seemingly growing with internet and other online forums, not making it any better. And so what we'd like to see is some steps to be taken by each of us, elected officials, in an attempt to try to stamp some of this out. We shouldn't allow this to become the normal and overtake our discourse and really our American value system.
So I'm thinking, as you tell me about these hate groups and what they're doing, these marches that they're having, these young men stomping around with their faces covered up and with shields and clubs, and they're shouting anti-Semitic things. And then simultaneously, we have the state of Texas banning Anne Frank, the Diary of Anne Frank. And teachers being fired for, reading parts of the book to the classrooms. So what is how do we separate from what is happening with these hate groups from what is happening from our elected officials?
Well, what we hope to do at ADL is to sort of separate out the misinformation and disinformation and educate elected officials and the public about what is and is not something that is acceptable. For example, in the example you gave of the Anne Frank passage, you know, that book is so powerful because it is about a person of that age group, and the age group would be middle school, who experienced something and has many of the same thoughts and ideas on things as current day middle schoolers. And it's truly an appropriate and extremely powerful way for students to learn about the horrors of the Holocaust, because they're able to put themselves in that place. So it's just, it's very strange to me that that wouldn't be considered appropriate in a middle school setting. So yeah, from that standpoint, we think it's important for everyone to really get involved with their elected officials and really get involved with their peers and friend groups to you know, express how they feel in a way that isn't combative.
Texas recorded the country's fifth highest number of anti-Semitic incidents last year. The same time period, the Anti-Defamation League tallied its highest number ever of incidents nationwide. That's more anti-Semitic incidents in Texas. They have increased almost 90% since 2021. So this is the trend is skyrocketing.
Yeah, and that's you know, in a really as the makeup of our in Texas, at least, of the entire population, is a very low number. You know, less than a percentage of the entire population is Jewish in Texas. Yet we had the fifth highest number of anti-Semitic incidents in Texas. So it is really alarming to see. And it's something that really is part of the reason why we introduced this report on Texas, is to bring more awareness to these issues in Texas and make sure Texans really understand the stakes of allowing extremism and hate just to become normalized and proliferate throughout our state.
So why do you think that's happening?
Well, there's a certain amount of polarization. It's not just one thing, though. You know, polarization definitely is one thing. The rhetoric is amplified on all sides. And, you know, social media plays a part. Online, other internet-based platforms has something to do with it. And, you know, media has a lot to do with it. You know, we're not, most people aren't in these extremist camps, aren't listening to programs like this where you're able to talk through something in a sort of coherent way. And so really sort of all of those things play a part. And it's really our goal to bring awareness and really attempt to try and offset the growth of hate and extremism in our country and in the state of Texas, obviously.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk some more about what this report found from the Anti-Defamation League and what needs to be done. How do we counter this? What is an effective strategy? The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And we do need to talk, not just here, but we need to talk to our kids, especially if you have young men in your household. Talk to them about what is going on and what is happening. And I'd love to hear from you right now. Give us a call, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Support for this podcast comes from Big Sun Solar, committed to helping businesses strive towards energy independence and conservation. Solar is a great way for businesses to lower their carbon footprint. More at bigsunsolar.com/TPR.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're having a conversation with Jake Kurtz. He's a spokesperson for the Anti-Defamation League. They just released a report called Hate in the Lone Star State, pointing out the statistics that hate groups, hate incidents, violence is on the rise in Texas, and we need to do something about it right now. Give us a call. I've got a question or a comment. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And Jake, I got an email from Kevin. He says, I'd like to know what the research says about which strategies are the most effective for countering hateful ideologies.
Well, we recommend working with elected officials. There have been a number of really common sense policies and legislation that have been passed in other states that we could do here in Texas. Whether that's some anti-doxing or otherwise, just a number of things we could adopt, and we could speak more to that if you'd like. But I think what we really find is the most impactful way we can help address these incidents of extremism is to start at the source. We are all trusted by family members and friends to offer feedback and constructive criticism of a particular action. So when a friend or colleague says something, it's a matter of attempting to address that in the moment, whether that's bias, anti-Semitism, or maybe it's conspiratorial thinking that you might want to address. Doing so quickly doesn't have to be right away, but within the day to discuss something like that, it's a really impactful way to change minds and change hearts. So in addition to the policy, the interpersonal is a great way to start to make an impact here.
Well, help me get through that a little bit more. So what? How to talk to who about what, how?
That's a great point. So if folks go to our website, adl.org, there are a number of ways that you name it, whether it's bias, anti-Semitism, go through and have opportunities to look through sort of some of the talking points on a conversation you might have with someone who brings up something that may be offensive. Maybe you hear it and it strikes you as offensive, or maybe you hear it and, oh, that's trending toward something racist, or that's trending toward something that's conspiratorial, and we need to have a conversation around, what the truth is. So at ADL.org, we have a number of resources there where you can combat that extremism and combat that hate without being combative.
Do we have a good idea, sort of demographic-wise or any kind of profile, of who are these people? Particularly when I see, like, they march through Austin, dressed up in their red, white, and blue gear, their faces are covered up, and they're shouting their anti-Semitic stuff. Who are these guys? What do we know about them? I mean, not, like, I don't know up their names or whatever, but, like, how does a person get to that point where they're doing that and they think they're doing something constructive?
Yeah, it's a great question. And if we had a really good answer, we would be able to operate in a way that people wouldn't be radicalized, right? But what we do know is that we've seen this sort of grow in this online era that we're in, the internet era. And what we've seen in our studies at the ADL and our is what we're seeing is continuing to get worse as people search for a hate term. So, for example, someone might search, white power, for example. They go in and they are getting progressively more hateful recommendations online.
So the algorithm will feed them more negative material.
So they're going down a rabbit hole of more hateful content, making some people do some seriously awful things. One example is the Allen mass shooting that happened back in May. That gentleman was severely twisted and was sort of radicalized online. It didn't require necessarily a group in order to do it. But obviously, right groups have something to do with it. White supremacist propaganda is spread here more than any other state, and there's a reason for that. It's all part of this ideology, a twisted ideology that, the country belongs to whites only.
So you brought up the Allen shooting at that shopping mall. The shooter, eight people were killed, seven more were wounded before the police shot and killed this guy. He was covered with tattoos, with swastikas and stuff. And he had been online, this presence online where he talked about how much he loved Hitler and stuff. Still, with all that, there was a reluctance by law enforcement to identify this person as a Nazi.
Yes, and from what I understand, there were some reasons for that. But still, it shouldn't stop anyone from calling out what it is, like DPS did, right? Though there may be some legal ramifications. For example, we don't know for sure even today that he was attempting to kill anyone of a particular race.
Well, wasn't he targeting Asian people?
We don't know that for sure. He did kill a Caucasian man, and there were Asians that were part of his rampage, but we don't have any information showing that he was attempting to murder anyone of Asian background. But what we do know is that he was radicalized online, and that he definitely was did have white supremacist ideology.
So this happened on May 6th, 2023, not that long ago. And it's amazing how we're able to, it seems like, oh yeah, I remember that wasn't that long ago. But so the guy, the shooter, Mauricio Garcia, okay, that is not the name that you would typically associate with somebody who is a white supremacist.
Right. And it's not something that we see typically in our Center on Extremism when doing research on these types of things. It's not something we see very typically either. It seems, as far as we can tell, at least, that this is a pretty significant outlier and one sure we'll continue to track. But it appears that so this was a pretty sort of sick individual. Lone assassin. And it's just really, it is terrible that we're in a space right now where, I seem to remember that. And it was only a few months ago.
And so, but is there a trend? Do you see something with Latino young men who are attracted to white supremacy? And that seems like a contradiction, but it does seem to be happening.
Yeah, we're not necessarily seeing a trend toward that. As of right now, we feel like that's a bit of an outlier, but it is something we'll continue to track for sure. And, if there are some really compelling, data points for something like this, like a movement toward a white supremacist movement by Latin American individuals, something we'll definitely flag.
Are people like this guy, the shooter, they're just like washouts in society? They're not finding a place. They're angry. They basically have anti-government feelings. And so they go into this lane. And even though they're not a perfect fit, but they just have a lot of resentment and anger towards women and towards any sort of certain groups that they may pick out. And next thing you know, they're covered in Nazi tattoos and got an AR-15 going into the mall.
Well, it is definitely hate and resentment there. And it all becomes a consideration of how are they getting there? Is this due to something that happened in their lives? Is this something that they're just simply angry at the world because things didn't turn out the way that they should? There are a number of factors, honestly. And what we're hoping to do with this report and with our work is to attempt to say, here are some things you can do to, attempt to stop this sort of behavior. And it's important for all of us to express ourselves in an attempt to stop this behavior. If people are online and these online platforms are not are making it easier for people to fall down a rabbit hole of more hateful ideology, how about we get a little assistance from these online platforms to ensure this doesn't happen? We found that with sexually graphic content, that these online platforms were able to significantly curb that more and more extreme sort of search. So why not with extremism and these sort of extreme ideologies? Additionally, with our elected officials, they represent us. So why can't we have some common sense, truly bipartisan efforts to stop this type of hatred from spreading online and making it to where their efforts are significantly curtailed through policy and by giving our law enforcement agencies the tools they need to help fight this on a day-to-day basis. And then from our standpoint, making sure that we are checking ourselves and our language on social media and doing what we can to check the language on social media and interpersonally with our fellow colleagues and friends and sphere of influence.
Let's go to a caller. We have Joseph. And Joseph, you're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call. In regards to your question earlier about why Latinos would be drawn to white supremacy, I was brought up in Corpus Christi, Texas, and I feel like we were brought up either consciously and or subconsciously to idealize white culture, and that was the standard that we were to aspire to. And I think a lot of people who don't really work through that in their personal psychology internalize that racism, and look at other races, maybe look at black people or Asian people, and try to make themselves feel better by associating themselves consciously or subconsciously with white folks and saying that, and I think that's just a part of internalized racism.
And you see this as a trend, Joseph?
I do. I've seen it in the military. I've seen it growing up all my life. And that's why when I see like a Mexican American who's like a hardcore Trumper, and I'm like, your family at some point, wasn't welcome here. And then now you're turning around and using that ugliness towards other people. It's ridiculous. And you need to take a good hard look at yourself.
And then do the people do that, or do they just go back to what they were doing before, which is sort of...
Oh, no. I think people do not want to, reconcile with their own personal bigotry. I mean, there are some people that have changed their minds as they've gotten older and wiser, but I've seen that in my lifetime. But these young folks, they're disillusioned. They're looking for somebody to blame because they don't have a job. And just like that guy that came down from Dallas to El Paso and shot up Walmart, he was a white guy. But I think that, that's the idea. That's the idea. We need someone to blame for our own misfortunes and shortcomings.
All right, Joseph, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate it. That was some good content there. We're going to take a break right now. We'll come back. We'll continue our discussion with Jake Kurtz, spokesperson with the Anti-Defamation League. We're talking about the growth of extremism, anti-Semitism, violence, racial-fueled violence in Texas. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255. Who are these people that are doing this? Well, actually, they're probably know somebody. It could be someone living in your house. Maybe we ought to be talking more about this and where this could lead and how no good can come of this. Give us a call, 833-TPR-TALK. It's The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
I'm taco journalist Mando Rayo, and this is the Tacos of Texas, a podcast from Identity Productions in partnership with KUT and KUTX Studios. We've got some muy rico conversations coming up in season 3. Join us as we explore the taco culture of Texas through the eyes of the people in the Lone Star State. You can find Tacos of Texas on KUT.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies, having a conversation with Jake Kurtz, spokesperson for the Anti-Defamation League. They have released a new report saying that Texas is a hotbed of hate, anti-Semitism, anti-LGBTQ+, white supremacy, and that's leading to violence, and we've got to do something about this. We've got some suggestions for that coming up. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Let's go to a caller. We've got Bill, and Bill, you're on the air. Go ahead, Bill.
Yes, thank you. How strong is Christian nationalism in Texas?
All right, Bill, thank you for that call. Jake Kurtz, do you see Christian nationalism in happening here?
Yes, and it's definitely a concern when there's folks like a preacher here out of San Antonio who makes anti-Semitic sort of statements and sort of forwards conspiracy theories around.
Who is that? Is that Hagee?
Yeah, Hagee. Who makes these types of comments? It's not helpful. You know, people who use their platforms, you know, like it or not, they're very influential, especially if they claim to be, you know, a faith leader. And so when folks like this say things that are not true, that are honestly hurtful in many ways, that suddenly gets tied into religion, and it's a real problem. And so, yeah, it's definitely something that that Texas has some of, and speaks to our overall numbers being so high.
So there's a lot of anti-Jewish hate. And as you said earlier, you know, 1% of the population in Texas. You have to wonder why. I mean, it's the historic target, people who used to think what happened in Nazi Germany with the Holocaust, that could never happen here. And I'm not confident in that anymore. With so many people saying so many hateful things, attacks on synagogues, attacks on people who have a menorah in their window in their homes being attacked, things like that are becoming all too common. Where are you on, you know, on this? If we have like a meter, how alarmed should we be?
Well, it's something that on ADL's meter we are extremely bothered by. It's something that we are taking very seriously, because, you know, we don't want it to be. You know, our CEO, Jonathan Greenblatt, wrote a book called It Could Happen Here a few years ago. And it's only gotten worse since that book was published. And so, you know, when, you know, we say that anti-Semitism is sort of the canary in the coal mine of hate. So when, you know, anti-Semitism begins to get normalized, then hate of many kinds becomes normalized. And it just becomes toxic. You know, the ideology of anti-Semitism bleeds over into anti-immigrant, anti-Black, anti-Muslim. You know, for example, the Tree of Life shooter in Pittsburgh, who killed Jews during you know, prayer in a synagogue. He blamed Jews for bringing immigrants into this country. So there really is a lot of bleed over from anti-Semitism into hate in other forms. And it's something that for us, with the rising tide here, we really take it seriously. And it's something that we really want to address now before it gets too late.
833-TPR-TALK, if you want to call in. I'd love to hear what you got to say. Are we sitting on a powder keg, particularly here in Texas? If things blow up, it's going to be in Texas, you think?
Hard to say, because things are bad in a lot of places, but we sure do have some statistics that show that we need to do a lot better. White supremacist propaganda, anti-Semitic incidents, the number of insurrectionists, crimes, hate crime statistics are up 33% from the previous reporting year. I mean, heck, incidents where people are attempting to go to our border to murder people for coming across the border illegally. You know, these things, we also are the home of one of the largest white supremacist groups in the country. Texas is, you know, they're based here in Texas. So there are a number of concerning things happening here in Texas. So it is something that we're taking very seriously.
So if I have a household and I have a young man living in my household and I notice that he is kind of becoming radicalized, maybe he's starting to talk things, say really negative things like that. Maybe he's joining like the Patriot Front here in Texas and joining these marches. What do you say to someone in your household? Maybe it's a cousin or something, but how do you, I mean, they can't do these things in a vacuum. People around them have to know what's going on. How do we bridge that gap?
Yeah, and this might be a great topic with maybe psychology professor around how to offset some of the sort of adoption of hateful ideology and being radicalized. But we can say that you need to fight for your child or your family member who may be headed down this track. Maybe they're subscribing to QAnon, conspiracy theories, or they're starting to attend or express some ideological similarities with Proud Boys or some of these other white supremacist or extremist groups. It's something that as a person, you probably can't do it all by yourself, but you need to bring maybe professionals. Maybe it's having these conversations, reasoned conversations. You can only fight this sort of extremist ideology with reasoned conversations about what it is that they believe. And sometimes, you know, we see family members torn apart by this, and it's really awful. But to the extent you can, you've got to be able to fight to get your family member back from this kind of extreme ideology.
And what if you don't? What if you ignored it? Like, families are really good at that and just saying, this will go away on its own. This is just a phase he's going through. Maybe even when he gets a girlfriend, he'll realize this is not good. But if you don't and it festers, I mean, how bad could it get?
We've seen, you go back to even Columbine and El Paso, you name it, avoidance won't get us there. Okay. So even if it's hard, we need to have these conversations with our loved ones. If we love them and we value their friendship, their family membership, we need to have these conversations no matter how difficult they are. Ignorance might lead to the next tragic incident in our state and or even in the country.
So how do we, approach the person like that? I mean, we need really practical information. Is there a way to reach out to them? Are there groups? What's the best way to try to do that?
To start, we have great resources at ADL.org to myth-bust these ideologies, many of them. And I think that's a great place to start. But if you are fearful that your loved one may be violent or has intention of doing something dramatic and violent, at that point, we ask that you contact law enforcement. And you may prevent the next terrible thing that happens. On our website, we also have a place where you can report incidents of hate, ADL.org. But the reality of it is, if you think your loved one has violent ideology that was brought on by extremism, you need to report that to the police right away so they can intervene if necessary.
That's harsh, asking someone to call the police on their kid because suddenly he's, you know, walking around quoting Hitler.
Well, you know, it's it depends. It depends on what it is, I suppose. But if they have intentions of violence, it's a lot better than seeing your loved one on the news and losing them forever.
And so you talk about this, the militia stuff on the border. That's also an issue. We're having a lot of issues on the border right now. People coming across from Venezuela in large numbers. Do you see this as something that could trigger some extremism?
Well, it is, and it has in the past, so I can only assume it would going forward. The truth is, this is not something that people need to take into their own hands, especially with violence. This is something better left to law enforcement agencies to tackle. And if you want to be sort of aware of things going on and advocate for some reforms, great, let's do that. But taking things into your own hands, that's an extreme sort of form of violence.
Let's take another break. We'll be right back. Wendy, I will get you on the air after this 1 minute break. We're talking about the growth of extremism, anti-Semitism in Texas. This is leading to violence. What can we do to stop it? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
At TPR, we believe in delivering the news and stories you need in as many ways as possible. Our traditionalists love tuning into their radios to hear us, while others have ventured out to stream us online or through our TPR app. Another choice that's gained popularity is our TPR newsletter. We now have two. One is our weekly in-brief newsletter that is sent every Saturday with a roundup of the top stories from the week and highlights of past or upcoming TPR events. We also offer a weekday daily newsletter titled 321. This publication offers the latest news of the day. You can subscribe to one or both on our website at tpr.org. Stay in the know with the top TPR stories by subscribing today. And thanks.
Texas is a hotbed of hate, according to a new report from the Anti-Defamation League. We're speaking with the spokesperson for the ADL, Jake Kurtz. You can call in. The number is 833-877-8255. And we have Wendy on the phones. And Wendy, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I direct Interfaith San Antonio Alliance, which is a broad spectrum of faith leaders here in San Antonio, and we are very, very concerned in creating a strong sense and support network for each other, given this increasing violence and increasing messaging of hate. So we are helping host the first Festival of Faiths to help educate and bring the community together, and that's going to be in January. So we want you to know we are very much a part of this work, and you were talking earlier about how to direct young people. Well, here's a great way. Bring them to the Festival of Faiths so they can engage with people and learn, hey, we have so much more in common than we do that separates us.
Wendy, thank you so much for that call. Jake Kurtz, in the steps to try to counter this hate, this is something that would fit in that. Find people who are community leaders, get a summit of stakeholders from across the state, talk about how we can deal with the problem. How does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great. And thank you, Wendy, for your efforts there. Yeah, any opportunity for understanding sort of ecumenically where people of different faiths can come together and really celebrate the unique sort of differences we have that make this world worth living in, and then understanding too that faith does not mean one thing. It does not mean that we are rigid and hateful. Really, what it ought to mean is that we are welcoming and accepting of people of different backgrounds, different faiths. So yes, I'm going to bring this event up to our Austin area region office to see if how we can be a part of it. Thanks so much, Wendy.
Another caller, Samir. Samir, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for having me. My comment, I guess, is yes, there's a generation of people I think have been lost to QAnon and other right-wing conspiracies. I know a couple. I've lost a couple of friends to it personally. I'm almost to the point where I've given up on the adults, and I'm more concerned about the children that are being indoctrinated into that household and into that ideology at a very young age. I've seen them, you know, on TV at the protests, at the rallies, and they're holding signs that parents made. They don't even really understand the sign they're holding. And I guess my concern's more towards the youth and what's going to happen to these kids once, you know, they start growing up and maybe their beliefs start getting shattered or something. And I'm just like, to the point of like, I'm more concerned about the children growing up in those households and what your thoughts might be on that.
Samir, thank you for the call. So this has become multi-generational. Jake Kurtz, have you seen that?
Yeah, so that's something we take seriously as well. So as part of our efforts to prevent that from happening, ADL actually offers a framework for schools completely free of charge. It's called No Place for Hate. It is completely student-driven, where students are able to engage in dialogue with guidance from a trusted adult at the school. And they guide this No Place for Hate program toward dialogue, understanding, and then they create their own plan for how to address this sort of the hate, bullying, et cetera, that may occur on campuses. And we found it to be a very successful program because students are running it. It's based on the needs of that particular campus. No one knows that more than students and staff on a campus. And so, yes, for us, it's definitely something that is one of our top priorities is education and anti-bias and working within meeting students where they are to address certain levels of hate and bullying and you name it on any campus.
So what is the agenda of these groups? What are they trying to achieve? What does the Patriot Front want?
Yeah, that's when you start to break it down, you think about it logically, it can't hold. White supremacists, it's the idea that somehow this should be a white country. Yeah, it starts to break down, right? What does that mean? Is that people with X, Y, or Z background? It's truly just something that's a sickness that people have gotten into. And if you try to think through where that ends up leading, really it can't hold. It's something that would tear people and families apart, and it's not anything that anyone could even wrap their mind around. I kind of liken it to illness.
But you know, when you see these groups and they have their parades or whatever you call them, and sometimes they have the flags of some people who are running for president from a political party. And how do you find daylight between these candidates and these hate groups that embrace them? There is very little people there. Our elected leaders in Texas are not being forceful in denouncing these hate groups and their policies. It does seem like our elected leaders should convene some sort of summit. Well, I mean, there's a reason why they don't do that. You know, they kind of are aligned with these guys.
Well, that shouldn't stop us from trying. In 2021, Governor Abbott signed HB 3257, which was really landmark for the state of Texas, is Texas Holocaust Genocide and Anti-Semitism Advisory Commission. And if he was able to do that in 2021, we don't see any reason why he wouldn't want to create a similar summit to address extremism and bias of all kinds. Why shouldn't he? Now I realize that may be an uphill battle, but it isn't going to prevent us from advocating for that. And we think there are many more Texans who are people of goodwill and who want to address extremism. Extremism in Texas growth only makes Texas a less desirable place to be. So we call on just all of our, Texans of goodwill to go out and, attempt to address this with their elected officials and join us in this advocacy fight.
Now, the caller, we have Barbara. And Barbara, you're on the air, Barbara.
Yes, hi. I just want to say I think Senator Cruz should be held accountable for the hate and intolerance that he writes about on his official Facebook page. And I know that it is an encouragement for the many racists and white supremacists that we do have here in Texas. And so I think someone should take a look at what he posts on his Facebook page to see how his words can incite or do incite more hatred and more intolerance. Thanks.
All right. Senator Cruz will be on the ballot in 2024. And so Texas voters will have an opportunity to weigh in on that. And I think we can generally say that hate will be on the ballot in 2024. And real quickly, Jake Kurtz, do you want to react to that?
Not much I can say in advance of an election, but we, our CEO and ADL, have responded to some of the social media posts by Senator Cruz. And if you see those at any point, not sure which one might be closest to you, but please contact our a regional office, ADL regional office. We have one in Houston, one in Austin, one in Dallas area. So the one that's closest to you, contact us, and we will look into it and attempt to address it.
Let's go to the caller. We have Carol, and Carol, you're on the air.
Yes, I just wanted to respond to reaching out to the youth. Dialogue is great. Coming from a place of seeking understanding is great. But there are also other resources out there that young people are naturally attracted to, such as, science and entertainment. There's movies like American History X that dives deep into what that looks like and the outcomes that can come from those limiting mindsets. And then there's also things that are becoming more affordable in science, such as DNA tests. And I'm just wondering if whenever dialogue and leaning on religion or faith doesn't work, if those other resources have been explored to reach the youth.
All right, Carol, thank you for that. And, what about celebrating the allies? What about celebrating the people who are leading a voice towards rejecting hate, people like Taylor Swift, Jake?
Yeah, I think for sure that is something that we could do a better job of, frankly, is celebrating those folks who are really being true allies in the fight against hate and extremism. At times we get caught up in responding to incidents, whereas we could do a better job of really making impact with our brothers and sisters across, other organizations, individuals who are speaking out. There are definitely opportunities there. Recently, our CEO did the March on Washington, and we do have a number of sort of across the board allies in different environments here in Texas. And there's opportunities for everyone to get involved locally at an ADL office nearby.
Jake Kurtz, spokesperson for the Anti-Defamation League. They released a report last week saying that Texas is a hotbed for hate. Jake, thanks for talking to us today. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
The
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.